A while ago, in a sermon about faith, I used the illustration of a light switch to speak about the essential connection necessary in order for faith to work. Our homes may well be wired to the national electricity grid, but without switching on, the house will remain cold and in darkness. In the same way, one may attend church week by week, month by month, and year by year, but without a personal connection with the Almighty, one's life will remain powerless and fruitless. Christianity is not about religion. It is about relationship, about being personally connected to God through Jesus our Savior. For without that connection, there can be no Christian life. It is essential for every man, woman, and child under the sound of my voice today to make that connection, and only faith makes it possible. There is a New Age theology that would have us believe that faith can make anything happen, but this is erroneous teaching and falls far short of biblical faith. Our Christian faith is not about making things happen, but about believing that what has already happened on the cross has already paid the price for everything we need for life and godliness. Our faith is in the fact that salvation is already ours, healing is already ours, provision is already ours, grace is already ours, and heaven is already ours. Faith is the evidence of things not yet seen. This message was at the very core of everything that Jesus himself taught us. He was continually saying, "Have faith in God, O ye of little faith. Believe and doubt not. Trust and fear not. Believe and receive," and so on. His whole life and ministry was to get us to believe, to trust, to have faith in his words and in his works. God wants us to trust in him without any reservation, without any fear. My sermon today, entitled Make or Break, is about faith and fear. For while faith makes the connection, fear breaks the connection. Let me explain. Most of you do truly believe that God heals the sick. You have the faith that God can heal, but you fear that he will not heal you. You have faith that God can provide, but you fear that he will not provide for you. You have the faith that God gives shelter, but you fear that he will not give you a house. Faith makes the connection, and fear breaks that connection. Understanding this wisdom and overcoming this weakness will change your life and your walk with God. Let us return to the illustration of the electrical appliance. In every appliance, the manufacturer will fit a fuse. This fuse is the essential, delicate wire that links the switch to the power source. The power must first pass through that tiny fuse before it reaches the appliance. And if the fuse is broken or blown, the appliance will not work. Usually, it is a fault in the appliance that blows the fuse, and it may only be a small fault. But without the safety of the fuse, the power surge would destroy the appliance. You may have a top-of-the-range cooker, a top-of-the-range fridge freezer, a top-of-the-range flat-screen TV, and a top-of-the-range washer-dryer. But if the fuse is blown and broken, the appliance, however chic, is only an ornament. I believe that God has many top-of-the-range people in the church today. Good people, great people, wonderful people. People with ability, people with character, people with gifting, good-looking people. But unfortunately, most of them are just ornaments filling the pews and not functioning believers because the connection with God is broken. Are there any ornaments in your church pews? Then there are some who've never been connected up in the first place, and they continue to walk and to work in sinful and disobedient ways, thus separated from God, disconnected from his love and his life. Then there are others who were once well connected to him, but the fuse has blown, the connection has been broken, and they live now in fear and not in faith. In this mode, the devil is able to find room and sets about destroying them from within. His attacks are like a rust that eats away at their component parts and leaves them broken and unable to function, and like any broken appliance, left discarded. Every one of us, sooner or later, will find ourselves in this make or break predicament, and it is essential that we understand how to respond to God in it. As I've said, faith makes the connection, but fear breaks the connection. We must understand that God cannot get the blessing to you without faith, and God cannot operate where there is fear. If the fuse on your heart has been broken, then it's time to fix it and get rid of those fears. It's time to trust God and to trust Him completely. In the moments left to me now today, I want to deal with fear and hopefully help you to understand how you can live in faith, free from fear. The writer to the Hebrews reminds us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11 verse 6. God is looking for men and women of faith. He's not looking for men and women of great ability, great understanding, great intelligence, great wisdom, great oratory, great influence, and so on. God doesn't need any of that. He has all of that in abundance Himself. But He needs men and women of faith to bring those treasures from Him to a hurting and troubled world. Some of you who do not know any better will preach and speak of a God who is there for us. He is there to care for us, to watch over us, to protect and provide for us, and to see us through to the end. But God is not there for us. We are here for Him. God did not put you on this planet for your wife, or for your children, or for your employer, not even for your church. God put you here for Him. You have a job, an assignment, and a destiny to fulfill for Him, and you cannot do it without faith. You need faith first. Then you can add to your faith knowledge, gift, ability, and so on. But without faith, God cannot use you. And where there is fear, there can be no faith. Faith makes the connection, but fear breaks the connection. So we must deal with fear before God can bring us to our assignment and to our destiny. And it weighs heavily upon my heart to help you. God has been showing me in recent days that my present assignment is to prepare food, spiritual food, for hungry souls. I know that there are hundreds of hungry believers waiting on these messages week by week. If you look on the Sanctuary webpage, you will see that over 2,400 hits were made in recent days. That's 100 more than this time last week. That means that many people are anxious to know what the next meal, the next spiritual nourishing message will contain. And only God knows what He has in store for you in the days to come. Today's message comes to you as the result of a very long personal struggle to find this truth for myself before I'm able to share it with you. But I'm assured that by sharing it with you, it will indeed be food and nourishment to your believing soul, as it has been to mine. God's word does not return to Him empty. Praise God forevermore. Now let us consider what I'm calling the progression of faith. Paul says in Romans 12 verse 3 that God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. He does not say every Christian, so we must assume that every man has been given a measure, a component ability to put faith to work. This, of course, is evident in every strata of life. We all, both saint and sinner alike, exercise faith every single day. We put our faith in the bus driver, faith in the post office, faith in the hospital staff, faith in the travel agent, faith in the swimming instructor or the lifeguard, In fact, we usually have no difficulty or problem in putting faith in every other human being around us. Yet it seems strangely difficult to us to put or have faith in God. And that speaks volumes. But God knows that while we may put faith in most others around us, that faith is based on what we can see and what our senses tell us. Faith in God is a whole other ball game. Faith in God is about what we cannot see, what we cannot sense. Our only guarantee is His word on the matter. That's faith. So God has given us this measure of faith, but in order for God to get us to live by faith in Him, we must grow that faith. We must add to that measure and build on that foundation. We must learn to trust Him for what we cannot see, what we cannot feel, and what we cannot understand. We must learn to trust Him beyond the possible for the impossible, beyond the probable for the improbable, and beyond the natural for the supernatural. This is where fear creeps in to destroy faith, to disconnect us from what little measure of faith we have. Let us look at a biblical example of this as we see it in the Gospel of Matthew in the 8th chapter. And beginning at verse 23 we read, "And when he, Jesus, was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, Why, ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Picture this event. It comes right after the Sermon on the Mount, and the disciples and the Lord probably wanted some quiet time alone. So they got into this boat or ship and launched out into the water. Jesus was clearly tired and lay down for a nap. Now I know that he knew there was a storm brewing. God always knows what's ahead of us. And although none of us or them knew, he did, and yet he fell asleep. That tells me that he feared nothing. What a wonderful way to live. Lord, bring us there where we can live without a care. So the storm whips up fear into their hearts, and his disciples, in a kind of panic, come and wake him with the accusation, Don't you care that we perish? Isn't it amazing that when we ourselves are failing and falling short, we'll find someone else to blame? So Jesus responds with the words, Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? In other words, he was reminding them that fear was reducing them back to the place of little faith, back to the original measure, a small measure. There had been no growth, no real strengthening of their faith. I believe he was in fact challenging them themselves as to why they had not dealt with the storm. I believe he expected them to do what he was about to do. So he arose and rebuked the storm, and there was a great calm. Faith will accomplish the impossible and bring the supernatural into the natural. Notice what Matthew adds. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Matthew wants us to understand that what Jesus did, he did as a man, not as a superman or as a God-man, but as a man full of the Holy Spirit, a man with a connection to God. Faith makes that connection, while fear breaks the connection. Fear had rendered all of the disciples powerless in that situation, and fear will break your connection to the miracles that you so desperately need. Fear is a spirit that will connect us to the devil and to every evil imagination. It is a demon that must be cast out. The greatest fears that people struggle with are death, poverty, failure, and change. If we do not face our fears down and destroy them, then they are likely to destroy us. Fear is the devil's greatest weapon in his armory to defeat and destroy saint and sinner alike. But God has not given us the spirit of fear. He has given us faith. And if our faith is firmly built on the foundation of the blood of Jesus, then there is more than sufficient power to destroy fear and lead us to triumph. Jesus' blood will always bring us through to victory. There is no weapon in all of hell powerful enough to withstand the blood. Hell has already been conquered by that blood. Jesus' blood was ordained to affect us internally, externally, and eternally. Now we need to understand that there is a progression process at work in the building of our faith. As a church, we may well have mastered faith to trust God for a porter cabin for our Sunday school building. But trusting Him for $500,000 for a new hall or $5 million for a new church is another matter. We must progress from the one to the other. It takes faith to believe God for £10, but greater faith to trust Him for $1,000. Believe me, I know. Some of you will know that I am founder and president emeritus of Foundation Ministries, a Christian counseling organization and charity which I set up 30 years ago here in Northern Ireland, and which still continues to reach out to those in crisis to this day. I know from my own experience that there were times in the early days when we needed £100 to pay a telephone bill, and there was nothing like £100 in the cash box. We were forced to rely on God by faith to provide what was needed. Today, we still rely on Him to meet our needs, which run to thousands. Sometimes the red reminder or final notice has been pushed through the door, and still there was no supply. Have you been there? I know many have been. In those moments, we feared and fainted, or doubted that God was standing with us. But looking back now over 30 years of that work, I can see God's miraculous provision every step of the way. When the funds were not in on time, it was God's way of stretching our faith. We could have given up and given in and walked away from hurting people, but that's not God's way. Instead, we believed God even in the face of failure. But God did not fail us in the end. Our faith was stretched, and we were able to trust Him for more next time, and also able to better plan and prepare for such eventualities reoccurring. We were on a learning curve. God was trying to show us that He was our source, and that we should put no confidence in any other. God is your source also. And it is a source that will never fail. The fear of failing faith is a weariness to the spirit. One can become tired of waiting and discouraged, wearied when it looks like God has failed us. But remember, we're supposed to be walking by faith and not by sight. Faith is not about what things look like. It's about what God says. Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." Galatians 6, verse 9. As I said a moment ago, I have fainted many times, feeling and fearing that God had let me down. This, I have discovered, was blowing the whole process. I was literally blowing the fuse, cutting the supply, stopping the flow of the miraculous. Faith makes the connection. Fear breaks the connection. It was a make-or-break situation, and I had blown it. Have you blown it with God's supply? Are you gripped by fear and robbed of faith? If so, this message is for you. We find the answer in Psalm 27, verse 13, where the psalmist says, "I had fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." In other words, what kept the psalmist from fainting was his belief, his faith, that he would indeed live to see God's good, God's favor. There was no fear that God would indeed break His word or break His promise. So when you are tempted to think that things will not work out for you, or that you'll not get your miracle. Just keep saying, no fear, no fear. God keeps his promises. He will never fail or forsake any of his children. No fear. When God's process brings us to this place, then we'll begin to walk in the miraculous as we should, in all the blessings and benefits that are the rightful inheritance of the sons of God. We will in fact walk in faith like Jesus did, in a connection without fear and in God's favor. The flow of heaven will pass right through us to those around us. As I said, we will walk like Jesus did, not overworking, but overflowing. Now this final word. In Paul's letter to the Philippians, he writes, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Now Paul had a lot he needed to forget about in his past. Before his Damascus Road encounter with Jesus Christ, Paul had been far from friendly towards any calling themselves Christian. But Paul was not being focused on what he was, rather on what he was becoming. The word forgetting used here in the Greek implies a shift of focus, and this is a lesson we all need to learn. Begin today to renew your focus on the faithfulness and love of God. Forget about all those times in the past when you've thought that God failed you, when your prayers were not answered, when your faith seemed to go unrewarded. And remember that it's more likely that you yourself short-circuited or blew the process by allowing fear to break the connection with God. Forget all that and move on and move up today to a fresh expectation that faith, your faith in a faithful God, can move that mountain out of your way, whatever it be. For God can do anything but fail. God bless you. Amen.